Hey, church family, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we look into God's Word together. As many of you know, we finished our series through 1 John last week, and we're going to continue in the books of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as the Gospel of John. We're going to finish 2nd and 3rd John for the next month or so, and so I just wanted to let you know that. We'll be in 2nd John this morning. We'll do the first half of it, and then we'll finish the second half next week. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 John. It's one of the shortest books in the Bible, along with 3 John, less than 300 words each in the Greek. And so it's just a little snippet, but I think oftentimes we can neglect 2 and 3 John. I think 1 John is kind of more popular. But I want to take some time for us to look at what John has to say to us in 2 John. The title of this message is Truth and Love. Truth and Love. Let's read 2 John verses 1 through 6. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Truth and love. These two things John is going to really hone in on this morning. I think there's some of us that lean towards one side or the other, right? Some of you are great at telling the truth. You don't have a problem telling people how you feel, telling people what you think about them. And, you know, we need those people. We need those people in our lives who tell us the truth. But oftentimes we can use the truth as a hammer, and we almost use the truth as a club to like beat people up with it. Right? We can almost beat people into submission with being harsh and telling the truth. And so John is going to mention the importance of truth, but also the importance of love, right? Some of you are lovers, and oftentimes, and maybe sometimes, I don't want to say oftentimes, but sometimes it's at the expense of truth. You're like, I'd rather just love someone and have zero conflict in this relationship and never bring up any hard things. I would rather us just pretend like everything's okay, have this shallow type of love going on. And what John is going to tell us this morning is that there's this balance, right? That the Christian must have truth, but also must have love. These two things are very important in the life of the believer. And we err when we begin to swing to one side or the other. We must have this balance. Scripture speaks about speaking the truth in love. And we'll kind of talk about that as we go on. But the importance of truth, I feel like this is something that we're seeing lately come to the surface just in our society, in our culture with, you know, so much of what people call fake news, or just all of these different theories, conspiracy theories. Like, there's so many things floating around right now. And what do all these things have in common? It's basically a group of people or an individual claiming to have truth. Maybe it's a hidden truth. Maybe it's a truth that everybody else is missing, but they have special knowledge about. But there are different people in different groups that are claiming to have a hold on this truth, whether it's about a political party or the election or COVID, whatever it is, there's people that are making these big truth claims. And what we're seeing right now is there's kind of some censoring going on. There's like, hey, when people tell lies or when people say things that aren't true, like there are drastic consequences. People do crazy things. And we're kind of seeing that right now. And so I think this is important for us as believers to have a hold on truth. And yet to have it in this tension of we want to love people well, we want to speak the truth, we want to represent Christ in a way that glorifies him in this world. And John is going to dip into this morning as he speaks about the importance of truth. This letter, just to give you a little bit of background, was most likely written around 90 to 95 AD. And so it was probably around the same time that 1 John was written, maybe a little bit after. And the Apostle John here refers to himself as the elder, right? He doesn't come out and say his name, but he refers to himself as the elder, just like Peter did in 1 Peter chapter 5. He refers to himself as an elder as well. And it says that he's writing to the elect lady and her children. Okay, very interesting language here, because we're like, who is the elect lady and who are her children? There are a couple main views, I would say. Some people believe that this is an actual lady. Others believe that John is using figurative language to speak about a community of believers. So not the whole church in general, but a specific community of believers that were under his care. We see in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that Paul refers to the church as the bride of Christ, right, in the feminine. And, you know, we look at Israel and just the language that God uses to describe Israel. It's almost like Israel's like a woman and God is like a husband. And so we see this kind of language throughout the scripture. I tend to lean towards the second view, but again, this isn't like a hard line thing. If you have the first view, that's totally fine. There are things that scripture is more clear about. There are certain issues that maybe we have different interpretations on. And I think it's good to be able to talk through those things and not be dogmatic about the issues in which scripture is silent. Okay? We go astray. We begin to veer off when we start speaking on issues where scripture is silent. It's okay to have interpretations. It's okay to have different views, but we want to just do the best that we can to interpret the text based on the information presented to us. And when we don't have all the information, we just have to be honest and say, hey, we don't know it all. We have this information, and this is why I think this, but many of these things, or this thing that we're talking about here, is a secondary issue. When it comes to the fundamentals of our faith, the things that we're like, hey, you don't have Christianity unless you have these things, that's where we have to say, you know, we're sticking with this. We can't move from that line. Things like this: Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is God in the flesh. He's fully God, fully man. These types of truths that the scripture is clear about, we must also be clear about. Going back to 2 John, John says to the elect lady and her children. So in my view, and what many other scholars believe, not that I'm a scholar, but other scholars believe, that this elect lady is referring to a community of believers, and her children refer to the individual members of that community. And so John says, hey, I love you in the truth, right? He says, whom I love in truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. First thing that John says in verse 1 through 3 is that we're believers are established in the truth. In a world that's looking for truth, in a world that is trying to push their own truth on other people, in a world where people are asking, like Pilate asked to Jesus, what is truth? Believers in Christ have the ultimate truth in the Word of God. And you'll notice that John brings this word up a lot here. He brings this word up, truth, right? I love you in the truth. Not only I, but also all who know the truth. He says that we're in this family of God together, and we can love the family of God in truth. This is very important for us to remember that we are connected through the blood of Christ, and that we can speak the truth in love to each other. He says that this truth dwells in us and will be with us forever. This is an amazing thing about the truth we have in the gospel. That it's not just this temporary thing, but it will be with us forever. The truth is really what unites us as believers. I mean, think about the people in the church, in your community, the people who you know who are Christians. Many of us have a lot of different, we have a lot of different views on things. We have a lot of different differences. And you might say, you know what, I would never really see this person or hang out with this person unless it was for the Lord. I know that there are people like that in my life who I'm like, wow, I never would have crossed paths with this person, or I never would have like maybe hung out with this person unless it was for Jesus. And this is what unites us as believers. This is kind of the foundation for our love, is that we're united in the truth of who God is and what His Word says. John goes on. He gives us a powerful truth. He reminds us of this powerful truth in verse 3. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love." It's a little bit different than how maybe Paul would introduce his letters, or some of the things that he has in his letters as he's saying, "Hey, grace and peace to you." Here, it's not so much of a prayer for the church, but it's more of a declaration he's making. He's declaring the truth of Christ over them. He's confident that this is who God is, that God will be with us. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. We need to remind ourselves of this in these days. Because what are we tempted to believe? Man, if we just watch the news, it's all bad, right? There are some good things in there, but for the most part, if you're just ingesting the news, you're going to be constantly bombarded with bad news. But you have to remind yourself of the good news of the gospel, and that is this, that grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. You have to know that as we go into 2021, as we're buckling up, we're like, okay, this is going to be another bumpy ride. You have to know that God is faithful, that the circumstances don't dictate His faithfulness. He is completely faithful through the highs and lows of life. And whatever this year brings, we can have confidence. And John wants to remind us, hey, God is with you. God is with us in the storms of life. He will never leave us or forsake us. Even when it seems like things are tough, God is still at work in the mess. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love." And this is really the theme of what he's going to get into next, this idea of truth and love. I love what he says in verse 4. Look at what he says here. Because he's really going to invite us to rejoice when we see others walking in the truth. Okay? He says, "I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father." I love John's heart here. You could just tell. He's old right now, you guys. He's at least 90, probably closer to 100. It's like Grandpa John. Elder John is writing, and he's just like, you know what? I'm rejoicing greatly. Why? Why can he have joy? Even through the tough times, even when the church is being threatened by false teachers, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. When you look at the church of Jesus Christ, what do you see? Do you merely see a bunch of broken people? Because we are. Do you merely see all that's wrong with the church? And there are many things wrong with it. I think the question I have for us is, are you able to see the people who are walking in truth? Because if we're honest, the bad news does not stop at the doors of the church. It's not just in the world. It's not just COVID. It's not just politics. It actually is inside the church as well. And we can easily become discouraged when we look at the state of the church. We see the brokenness. We see leaders falling. We see, man, people being hypocrites. We're like, man, this is hurting the name of Christ. It's hurting our witness for Christ. I think it's easy to get sucked into all this bad news. But what John is saying here is, hey, there is a glimmer of hope. There are still people who are walking in the truth. Can you see those people? Don't allow the shortcomings and failures of the church to keep you from seeing what God is doing. That's my encouragement here. I know there's been a lot of movement in our community, and I think COVID, it's been tough, right? There's been some transition, people moving. We're not seeing as many people as usual. We feel a little disconnected, but I just want to encourage us with this. Hey, look for the things in the church and look to the people in the church and see what God is doing in their lives. How can we see what God is doing? How can we see if people are walking in the truth if we never pursue people, if we're not being intentional to engage with them? And so that's my encouragement for us. Let's be intentional in this season to engage with people and to check up on people. Say, man, brother, sister, how are you doing in this time? Like, how are you really doing? Is there anything I could pray for you? Is there anything I could do for you? Please let me know. I think that's such a blessing for people as we go about our lives in Christ. We want to be intentional in showing this love to each other and affirming, okay, this brother, this sister is walking in the truth. We received the command to walk in the truth by our Father. John says that. How do we walk in the truth? Right? What does that even mean to walk in the truth? Well, first, John said earlier that we've got to know the truth, right? How do we come to know the truth? Jesus tells us in John 17, verse 17, he says, as he's praying to his Father for his disciples, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. If we want to be people who know the truth, we must be people who go to the source of truth, and that is God's word. How much time are you spending in the word of God? I think there's a direct correlation between the peace we're going to experience and the hope that we're going to experience and what we're looking at and what we're receiving from either the word or the world. If we want to be people who walk in the truth, we must know the truth. We must go to the source of truth. And we must go to the person who ultimately is truth. That's Jesus himself. Jesus declared in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus himself declares, I am the truth. I am ultimate reality. The question for us is, are we coming to him? Are we finding our rest in him? In knowing, hey, there's a lot that we don't know in this world. There's a lot of confusion about what are the facts, what's true, what's false. One thing's for certain. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. Last thing we want to see is in verses 5 through 6. And that is that we're called to walk in love. Listen to what John says here in verse 5 and 6. Listen to his tone. He says, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Listen to his tone here as we see these words, we hear his heart. John is gentle in how he calls us to love. He's not laying a heavy trip on us, but listen, what he's saying, I'm asking you, dear lady, he has this endearment for the church and for these people. He's not trying to drop a burden on them. He's trying to invite them into a way of life that's going to bring them fullness of joy. He says, yeah, I'm not giving you a new commandment. It is a commandment. It's one that we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. But again, this commandment doesn't just come from John. It comes from Jesus. And I think the way that we speak to people is very important. We kind of hinted at this earlier. The scripture calls us to speak the truth in love. You know, it's been said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's very true. It's difficult to receive truth from someone when you don't think that they love you, or you just think that they're frustrated with you. They just have to get something off their chest. We need to be people who say, you know what? Yeah, be honest with the Lord. Maybe I'm frustrated right now. Maybe I want to give that person a piece of my mind. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to give this to the Lord. I want to speak when I can do it in a loving way. It's not enough to tell the truth. We must speak the truth in love. If you can't say it in love, don't say it. Wait until God moves in your heart. This is a big challenge for us. But we need this. We need the grace of God. We need God to move in our hearts. I pray that we'd be a community that can actually speak truth to each other. I think it's difficult sometimes as believers. We don't want to be critical of each other. We don't want to discourage one another. But I think we need to have this healthy tension of knowing when to speak the truth. Maybe God's just like, hey, don't say anything. Pray for that person. But maybe God's leading you to challenge someone. Maybe you see someone that's going astray, and God's putting on your heart to say something, and you're like, I don't want to say something. I think you're the perfect person to say something. The people that are eager to say something, those are the people that I say, hey, pump the brakes, wait till your heart's in the right place, give your frustration to God, and then speak to your brother or sister. I think John and Jesus are wanting to challenge us in this. This is really the goal, that we love one another. And he just defines, hey, this is what love is. John is patient in reminding us of what it looks like to love. He says that we walk according to his commandments. Love is not just this emotion. It's not just about being in love or having the feelings. It's really about this commitment. It's really rooted in covenant with God. He's saying, hey, it's played out in how we follow the commandments, right? We're not saved by following the commandments. God doesn't love us because we follow his commandments. But when we truly love God, the result is we'll walk in his commandments. It's the fruit, not the root. It's the fruit of love, but not the root of love, right? The willingness and the desire to walk in God's commandments comes as a byproduct of loving God. And if you're like, how do I get to that place of loving God? You must see how God in Christ has loved you. Because oftentimes, I know for myself, there's a disconnect. I know I should love people, but I forget how loved I am by God, and I find it difficult to extend that love to people. I need to remind myself, Lord, help me see how much you love me, how much you've forgiven me, so that I could extend that love to other people as well. John delivers this truth in a loving way, and John calls us and Jesus calls us to speak the truth and live this out in our life as believers. John loves us enough to tell us the truth, and we must love each other enough to speak the truth as well. I pray that God would help us in these things. Whether we lean towards speaking truth at the expense of not showing love, or we lean towards showing love at the expense of not speaking truth, I pray that God would help us to balance out, that He would lead us and guide us in how to operate as a loving, faithful, truthful community, that we can grow up in Him, that we can mature, and that we could go forward in a healthy way this year. Father, I pray that You would seal us up, Lord, that You would write Your truth on our hearts, that Your word would go deep in us, Lord. I pray You'd help us, God. I know there are certain things that maybe we've wanted to say to someone, we wanted to share with each other, that maybe we've been shying away from because we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to enter into conflict. But Father, I pray that we would love each other enough to point out these things, God. How are we going to grow if we can't say, you know, the truth? Lord, for those who maybe we struggle, God, just with beating people with the truth, using as a club and beating people down, I pray that You would help us, Lord. Give us Your love. Help us to deliver it in a way that's coming from a loving place. It's not coming from being frustrated or being angry or impatient. It's really coming from a place of, I'm saying this because I love You. So write these things in our hearts, God. Give us Your grace. We need You. I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us in these things. Lead us and guide us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.